Such that we have become elevated to Krishna consciousness. that we cannot elevate into Krishna consciousness.
Okay, Krishna, okay. In this verse, the great sage Narada Muni directly insults the king because he was engaged in performing a sacrifice that entails the killing of a great number of animals. The king was thinking that he was great for having performed so many sacrifices. The great sage Narada directly chastises him, informing him that his annual killing only leads to him to his being puffed up with false prestige. Actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. And any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. If Krishna consciousness is missing, one is simply engaged in false activities and false educational pursuits.
Compassion,
austerity, truthfulness, understand this. So now, what we have heard, you will be reading the scriptures, which is of course true and proper teaches us as well, that cleanliness is connected to illicit sex. Austerity is lost with intoxication. Cleanliness is lost with illicit sex. Austerity is gone with intoxication. Truthfulness is gone with gambling. And mercy is gone with meat eating and sorrow. So now, but here the connection is mercy is going because of pride. So that's what made me individual. Why this connection? What makes it happen? So you know, traditionally, in as our Vedic culture teaches us in India, this traditional sacrifice would happen where animals are slaughtered, and we have heard in a few number of lectures already so far that the purpose of slaughtering the animal was not to basically kill the animal and eat the meat, but was to just test the power of the mantras of the brahmanas and then perform the sacrifice successfully. So I found one purport in which Srila Prabhupada gives he explains it very nicely. I'd like to read a small paragraph. Prabhupada says, these animals were meant for sacrifice does not mean that they were meant to be killed. Animals are killed. He is saying they're meant for sacrifice does not mean they're meant to be killed. The great sages and realized souls assembled to perform yagyas, and their realization was tested by animal sacrifice. And he gives an example. Just as in modern science, tests are made on animals to determine the effectiveness of a particular medicine. So I compare. But when you're doing a test on a medicine, that is cruelty. That is actually killing the animal is dead, suffers the pain. But here, Prabhupada continues. The Brahmanas entrusted with the performance of yagyas were very realized souls, and to test their realization, an old animal was offered in the fire and was rejuvenated. So that's the difference in animal testing and the Brahmanas testing. The animals gathered were not meant to be killed and eaten. The real purpose of the sacrifice was not to replace a slaughterhouse, but to test Vedic mantras by giving an animal new life. Animals were used to test the power of mantras, not for meat. Huge difference. So, for many devotees also, who come from a background of participating in animal rights and maybe protesting for it, it's very hard to understand this. But sometimes one can actually digest it and understand the real import of the power of the mantras of the Brahmanas. So, but what we see now, still many people committing the same act in the name of tradition is completely misquoting the actual tradition which Vedic culture was teaching. So now just some traces of tradition are left, and which is used to still fulfill that particular activity. You know, you'll be surprised to know that marriages, which is meant to be an activity where Lord Vishnu is called in and a yagya is done, the fire sacrifice is there, and Lord Vishnu is called in to bless the bride and the bridegroom to have a happy, successful married life. Forget about having a Krishna conscious life or a normal person I'm talking about. In marriages, hundreds of animals are slaughtered and served. In some places, 50-60 goats are slaughtered in one marriage. And that's the feast, that's the party where the sacrifice is done, calling on Vishnu to make it a successful event for the happy married life of girl and boy. Hundreds of animals are slaughtered to feed. So there's a huge mismatch in this teaching. So, but today this is misquoting the Vedic traditions, and just for the sake of, because they're traditions, one still continues this animal slaughter. But we will see how this verse is giving another aspect of it, that how pride is leading to violence, this particular verse. So you see, how pride is leading to violence, you know, we all know the word empathy. Opposite of word empathy is apathy. So apathy is feeling, and apathy is no feeling. So when we have no feeling for the other person or the animal or entity, that's being very you have no empathy for that person. So I went across and I saw one purport of 1st Kings 17 chapter in which this basically this section is discussed. But then in the 24th verse, Prabhupada really makes an amazing explanation. I'll just read a short paragraph and then we'll explain on that. He says, but gradually, as the basic principle of Brahminical culture, namely austerity, which we just discussed, austerity, cleanliness, mercy and truthfulness, became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment and intoxication. So he is not saying here that mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity is gone because of gambling, meat eating, intoxication and illicit sex. Prabhupada is saying they became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment, intoxication, and the whole purpose of Prabhupada actually further explains it. And he says, the path of salvation or the path of transcendental bliss retreated far, far away from human society because of these three practices. So both are correct, but this is the context why he is explaining like that. But this purport actually gives a hint towards this section, this particular verse, that how pride can lead to being merciless. You know, before coming to pride, we can see, you know, people, when they are intoxicated, they may not be very pumped up fellows, but just under the grip of being intoxication, or under the grip of intoxication, people don't mind, because they are completely, the senses are not in their control. They don't mind being merciless, but they can beat or hurt or harm another person, their own loved one, their relative. Last year only I remember very, very clearly, you know, read that news. I was really shocked that a young boy who was intoxicated was searching for some money in his grandmother's wallet. And she just suddenly came from behind and checked him, you know, what are you doing? And he was so upset. Sense how he started punching his 85-year-old grandmother. And she just survived. You know, intoxication led to no mercy. And lost the whole thing. I was seeing, you know, if you read news, one fear of this coronavirus, this pandemic, was practically in the whole world. This one point was raised a lot, that when people are more at home, domestic violence will increase. So when I read this purport of Prabhupada, very sick, saying pride, attachment, movement, intoxication, this will lead to all these bad qualities developed and more. And when you read this, the domestic violence on the rise, you know, you can't compare it, because if you see the causes of domestic violence, there are three main causes. First is male wants superiority, and then he is not respected the way he wants, his orders are not fulfilled the way he wants. He wants to control women by force, and then he leaves. This is the top reason of causing that merciless violence. Second reason is he wants to forcefully enjoy, and if no agreement, violence. And the third is under intoxication, violence. This violence is committed. So, you know, when I was just trying to understand this word apathy more, that why this there is a feeling of no, why there is a feeling that you can't even see the other person's pain, what actually happens, you know, what type of psychological mindset is that when you can't even see, and you, even if you're seeing the other person's painful pain, you just don't feel it, it doesn't bother you.
his came across that there is one of the synonym of this word is even psychopath, which is a very extreme term used for lunatics and mentally disordered people, but it's exactly used for such people also. And the very interesting thing I saw that there is a term called organizational psychopath. That even in companies, one out of five CEOs are psychopaths. You know, then there are two studies which I read yesterday. One is in CNBC and another one is in Forbes that says 12 to 21% of CEOs are psychopaths. They just can't feel the pain of the employees under. They just not at all. They don't even at all. They just can't feel the pain, whatever may happen. So of course, gradually they rise and they come to that state. And one of the reasons mentioned was that the position brings in so much pride that the pain that the person goes through doesn't bother them. Huge number, actually. You know? And some politicians also accuse each other as a psychopath. Then if you see in Bhagavatam, when the Indra Yajna was stopped by the residents of Vrindavan, and residents decided after accepting Krishna's desire that they will not worship Indra and they will worship Govardhan, Indra started accusing residents of Vrindavan that they, out of pride, they are stopping my sacrifice and they are listening to this brat, this boy Krishna. But whereas it was the other way, Indra was having pride, and what he did out of the feeling of pride, he did not mind practically causing violence on the whole Vrindavan. It just blinded him. You know, very commonly we have heard this term that he is intoxicated by pride. The intoxication in itself is a problem. Then when it's coupled with intoxicated with pride, it is even more intense in the topmost level of pride maybe. So he's intoxicated with pride. And Indra didn't mind. Means a demigod, a devata, a very pious soul, didn't mind killing the whole village. Why? Because they didn't worship him too much, because of his pride. Then you see the example of Jarasandha. Jarasandha, a king who would respect Brahmanas, who accepted Vedic culture. Of course, demonia, because he didn't accept Krishna. But he accepted Vedic culture. He captured 20,800 kings. And, I was reading in that verse, Prabhupada is giving reference to Krishna Chakra Thakur. And Prabhupada says that Krishna Chakra Thakur is saying that to Mahabharata, this Jarasandha decided that he will offer 100,000 kings in sacrifice. He'll kill. Mm-hmm. What does he go? He wanted to sacrifice 100,000 kings just to get the blessings. And then the kings sent a letter through their person, not a letter, but their agent to Krishna, to Dwarka, to plead Krishna to come and save. In the 70th chapter of the 10th canto, the person who is speaking on behalf of these kings is telling Krishna that out of pride, King Jarasandha has captured. In the 38th verse of 70th chapter, he says, out of pride, he has captured these kings and he is going to slaughter 20,800 kings. And of course, Krishna tells him that the goal was 5 times more. So, then, when the kings who were captured are praying to Krishna, they are also saying the same thing, that out of having so much of pride, we also fought with each other, trying to capture and encroach on others' property, and we caused so much violence. So, a constant thing coming. Then you see Duryodhana, another classic example. The whole battle would have been avoided if he would have given these 5 villages, but his pride didn't allow. So his pride didn't allow, and what violence he caused? That 650 million people were slaughtered because of one man's pride. This is huge. This is just 100,000 kings wanted to slaughter. to be a very powerful king. But here Duryodhana's pride, one person's pride, of course many factors are involved, but he is the key figure. He was the one against all the five brothers and against Krishna also, standing. He was the one. So then when this happens, such a huge number is slaughtered, then on the contrary, Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling very bad that these many people there have been killed because of the bad, because there is no pride in Yudhishthira Maharaj. Of course, when we speak of pride, there are many other lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, illusion are also attached to it. But we are trying to understand why pride is leading to violence based on this particular purport, because Narada Muni is smashing. Very heavily speaking to King Vajrayamhari that you are foolish. It is your foolishness that you are killing so many animals, and just what you do, it will just increase your policy of your pride. And you will become even more proud. So, you know, these are like so many such examples. And then Prabhupada goes further in the purport where he says, very nice purport actually, he says, actually, anything that is done which does not lead to Krishna consciousness is a sinful activity. Any education that does not lead one to understand Krishna is false education. And if Krishna consciousness is missing, one is simply engaged in false activity, false education for students. Because Narada Muni in the purport is telling him that if your activity is not leading you towards pleasure of the Supreme Lord, then that activity is useless. Narada Muni is telling, because of your foolishness, you do not know devotional services, the only way to please Supreme Lord. And he is saying, you cannot understand this fact. You cannot understand this fact. So, actually from the last five chapters, the hard work Narada Muni has done on King Vajrayamhari is just amazing. What all he has done just to bring him to a point where he can directly chastise his life like this. Before he could not do it, he was just indirectly speaking. Now he is actually chastising because transformation is going to take place in these few verses. So, there is a very famous verse, first and second chapter, it says, Adhapam Vidashrestha, Varnashram Vidharasa, Swamastasya Dharmasya Samsudhi Hari Krishna. He says, O best among wise one, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discarding the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste division and orders of life is to please the personality of God. So if that's why Prabhupada very specifically uses the term, if our activity is not leading to this particular result, then it is simple. And when you analyze how it is simple because I'm not causing sin, if maybe at that moment you may not be directly acting sinful in terms of laws of karma, but it will lead you to act sinfully, gradually. Because anything done for sense gratification, you will be pushed in that direction. Maybe not now, maybe just due course of time. So, as I generally have gone through, I'm reading this first chapter of this first canto, where the purport again just mentions this exact point, which brings us to what Lord Chaitanya is speaking, what is his mood, and what is Sri Prabhupada's mood. So I'll just read a small part. Let any man of any place or community, caste or creed, be engaged in any sort of occupational duty, but he must agree to perform sacrifices as it is recommended in scriptures for the particular place, time, and person. It is recommended to perform sacrifices. In the Vedic literature, it is recommended that in Kali Yuga people engage in glorifying the Lord by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Kirtanateva Krishna Simukta Sangam Parambrade, without offense. And then after some lines, Prabhupada says, the Lord has declared openly in Bhagavad Gita how he becomes pleased with us. And the same process is practically demonstrated in the life and preaching work of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The perfect process of performing yajna, the sacrifice to please the Supreme Lord Hari, the personality of God who gets us free from miseries of existence, is to follow the ways of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the dark age of quarrel and dissension. This is basically directing us to the engagement in the preaching work. So, understanding how this pride is leading to violence. You know, today is a very special day. Today is a very nice day actually. In India, it's a lockdown, otherwise people will be in millions flocking near Ganges. Today is Janu Saptami. Today is the day when Mother Ganga, not actually descended on earth today, but Mother Ganga was released from the body of King Janu Rishi, Sage Janu, in near Mayapur. So there is Janu Beep, there is an island named on that Sage Janu. So very nice person actually, how my Mother Ganga descended. There was a king, Sagara. King Sagara in Ikshvaku dynasty, the dynasty in which Lord Ram himself came. And he had two wives. I think his wife's name was Keshani and Sumati. So, not having a child, the king performed many sacrifices. And through Keshani, he had one son, but through Sumati, he had 60,000 sons. 60,000 sons. So, now, having so many sons, such a power, this king now wanted to do Ashwamedha, the horse sacrifice. So the horse was sent throughout the country, and the idea of sending the horse is if anyone stops the horse, they have to give a fight to the king, who will send the horse, and whoever wins. If the king wins, who will send the horse, then the other king has to give him taxes. Otherwise, the king, if he loses, then he cannot perform this horse sacrifice, which is actually to establish his sovereignty towards on the whole planet. So now, the 16,000 sons are going. You know, some Puranas version comes that Indra Prabhu is scared that, oh, again, this guy is such a sacrifice. So he stole the horse and he hit the horse, but the 60,000 sons, when they were searching for the horse, they went to a cave where Kapila Muni was doing his meditation. And they thought Kapila Muni is saved. So seeing him as saved, they didn't kill him, but they started disturbing his meditation. And Kapila Muni, such a powerful personality, he got so upset after being disturbed that he burnt the 60,000 sons of King Sagara on the spot to ashes. So now, sons are gone. So now horse is not there, sons are not there. So King Sagara sends his other son, I think his name is Ayushman, if I'm not wrong. He goes and he retrieves the horse, King does the sacrifice. And now the time is to do Shraddha or Pinda for the 60,000 dead sons. So what has happened till then, during that time, that Agastya Rishi, who was being disturbed, means other many rishis being disturbed by demons coming from the sea during the day and night, they would go and hide in the sea. These rishis, they contacted Agastya Muni. This happened before this Sagara, this King Sagara's son getting killed by King Kapila Muni. So then they approached Agastya Muni, saying that these demons are disturbing us, they go in hiding in the ocean in the night, daytime they come and disturb us. Can you do something? Agastya Muni was such a sage, he drank the whole ocean to kill these demons. So now when he finished all the water, there was no water, it was a drought situation. So now there is no water to perform the ceremony for the 60,000 sons. That means they are suffering in hell. There is no shravana for them. So now King Sagar told his son Ayushman, he lived the life of a king. Then towards the end, he sacked worship Lord Vishnu. They were advised, we pray to Lord Vishnu so that Mother Ganga can descend. And if she comes, the situation will be normal, back to normal. You can, she is very pure, coming from the tip of the toe of Lord Mahamudev. She is very purifying, and she will again through the ocean, water problem will be solved. So now this Ayushman does sacrifices, no result. His son Dilip does sacrifices, no result. Then his son comes Bhagirath. Now speciality of Bhagirath was that he did no sacrifice living the whole life of king and then later deciding to do sacrifices. He thought, no, first I'll solve the problem, then I'll enjoy the kingdom. Then let my ancestors be relieved from the reactions of Kapila Muni. And so he's, from his youthful age, he started doing sacrifices. So Lord Brahma became pleased, Lord Vishnu became pleased, they requested Mother Ganga. Mother Ganga agreed, but she said that from heavenly planets, where she is known as Mandakini, if I come down with my force, earth is going to split into two and I will go down, because my force is intense. So find a solution for that. Then again Lord Shiva was requested, prayed, and then Lord Shiva agreed that, okay, in my jata, in my hairs, I will control Mother Ganga's force and gradually I will release her. So when Mother Ganga came in Lord Shiva's jata, this is, what is it called in English?
Matted hairs.
Lord Shiva didn't release Ganga, he held Ganga. So for that he got the name of Gangadhar also, because he accepted Mother Ganga in his hair. And then gradually he released Mother Ganga flows from Himalaya, coming down. Now this is northern part of India. Now she is flowing down and this Bhagirath is taking Mother Ganga to the kingdom where he wants to perform this Sraddha. So now he is leaving and Mother Ganga is coming. Now suddenly Bhagirath notices that Ganga is gone. And what happened? So he noticed that there was a sage called Janu who was doing his meditation in this Nadia place, Navadi area. And when the force of Ganga was coming, that Ganga just disturbed his Kamakulu, his water pot, and he also got disturbed and he got so upset that he swallowed the whole Ganga. Then again Bhagirath had to plead. Again Bhagirath had to pray to King Janu to leave Mother Ganga, and from his right ear, that is not King Janu, sorry, Janu Rishi. Then from his right ear, he releases Ganga, and that's where Mother Ganga gets the name Janavi, daughter of Janu Rishi. So that's where the name Janavi comes. And then Mother Ganga is released, and King Bhagirath satisfies his forefathers, 60,000 forefathers. And then water problem was solved. But now this day, which is Janu Saptami, because it's Janu Rishi's day and Mother Ganga's delivering the ancestors of Bhagirath also is there. So now this Janu Rishi was not just ordinary Rishi or other Rishis. He actually got the Ashwa Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while meditating there. And that's why the whole week is on his name. It is said in Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, where Lord Nityananda takes Jiva Goswami and shows him all the different places in Navadvip, all the different islands. Then he takes him to this Janudvip, his Janu island, where all this pastime happened. He was explaining the whole pastime. And he was telling that even because now Mother Ganga is daughter of Janu. So, and Mother Ganga's son was Bhishmadev. In Mahabharata, we see Bhishma Deva, son of Mother Ganga. So even he came and meditated and prayed and offered his obeisances to Janu Rishi. And there even Bhishma Tama also got that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, that book, Mahatma, in that book says that. So nice day today. This 10 days, there's a huge festival. People just go and take bath in Ganga. Those who cannot take part in Ganga can sprinkle some water on their head. We don't have, I think so. But very special day. So, you go now. Oh, nice. So, that's what from the purport and the verse I wanted to share. I'll stop there. If there's any question or comments or correction, we can take.
Gajasya Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Rupa ki jai.